you're holding yourself back from the growth that you want and the success that you can have by not showing up fully and authentically as the business owner, as the executive that you want to be. And a huge part of that puzzle and that puzzle piece is style.
Welcome to the Self Starter Podcast, a place where stories are shared from women just like you who left the colorless corporate world with an idea and a passion and ran with it to create the vibrant life they always wanted to live. My name is Megan Tobler, and every week I'll be bringing real women to you to share their entrepreneurial journey in hopes of inspiring you to take the very first step of your own. Sometimes the hardest part is just to start. So come on, start today for you, start today for her, and become a self-starter. Let's go. Today, we're diving deep into the world of personal style with none other than the style extraordinaire herself, Mary Comick. Mary is a seasoned personal stylist who specializes in taking the stress and overwhelm out of getting dressed for busy, driven women who are looking to elevate their everyday wardrobe. Mary shares the secrets to unlocking the power of style as a tool to shape your personal brand, how to curate your closet for maximum impact, and advice tailored specifically for fellow entrepreneurs who are looking to make a lasting impression in the business world. If you're looking to take your business and style to the next level, then this episode is for you. Mary, I've really been looking forward to today's conversation because personally, I am someone that desperately needs a wardrobe refresh. So super excited to dive into all things fashion today. And I'm pretty sure my husband will be thanking you as well. So thank you for joining the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, I'm super excited for us to chat.
Yeah, me too. Now, I know you have this entire story to tell, and I really want to dive into this, but today you are the founder of Mary Comick Style. So I'm curious, just before we dive into the full Mary story, what is Mary Comick Style?
Yes. So Mary Comick Style is my personal styling business. I am a personal fashion stylist for female entrepreneurs and professionals. So this is my personal styling one-on-one done for you business.
Wow, that sounds amazing. And again, it just piggybacks off of everything that I need in my life right now. So we'll definitely dive into how you're helping these female business owners and entrepreneurs. But let's first kind of rewind the clock a little bit back. What did you do prior to starting your own business?
I was still in styling. I've been in different iterations of styling for nearly a decade. So I've done wardrobe and commercial styling on music videos and photo shoots and campaigns. I've also done virtual styling for startups and a little bit of merchandising. I've had my hand in like every avenue that you can have it in, so that I really have culminated a ton of styling skills to style petite to plus, different ages and everything in between. It's my dream job and always has been. So to be able to now work one-on-one with women instead of models and actors and actresses, it's pretty amazing, but I've always been a stylist.
That's so fun. And I definitely want to dive into how you transitioned from working with celebrities and actors and models and all those folks to really the everyday professional. First, what kind of led you to styling in the first place?
Great question. So if you remember that show from years ago, What Not to Wear on TLC with Stacey London, everyone knows that if you're a millennial, that was the number one show that kind of ticked in my brain. Wait, this is a job. I can take people shopping and make them feel good about themselves and get them a whole new wardrobe that makes it easier to get dressed every day. Like as a kid, that was crazy. And as a Capricorn, I was like, okay, this is what I'm doing with my life. This is my life path. And I went to fashion school. I went to Auburn University to become a fashion professional. And then I graduated and just started styling. I interned and assisted for everyone that I possibly could. And I've always wanted to do this. Of course, other celebrity stylists that are really well known, like Rachel Zoe, for example, Carla Welsh, like those are the people that have inspired the stylist community that I'm a part of. So it's really important that there are more female stylists sharing their story about how they got from A to B.
Absolutely. And I know that getting into the styling world is not easy. And you mentioned that you did a lot of internships. So coming out of college, after you got your degree, how did you get your foot in the door within these internships?
So I actually did all of my internships every summer in college, even before it was like a credit, just so that I could get my hands on any type of styling job that I could, and also know the difference between wardrobe styling, commercial styling, and personal styling to see which one I really wanted to do. And then after I graduated, I got a job as a virtual stylist because of those contacts. And that was before the work from home craze. So I got my feet wet a little bit earlier. And it was really nice to kind of work with people from all over the country and learn more about like what people were dealing with and struggling with, specifically women, every single day when it came to spending too much time getting dressed in the morning and spending too much time worrying like what fabrics to wear, what the weather was like outside, or their important client meeting. I loved that a heck of a lot more than having to be on set at 5 a.m. and leaving at midnight and running around Hollywood and doing all of these returns. Working with women like that felt so much more fulfilling.
I resonate with that so much because, as you and I have talked about, my initial launch into the professional world was also in the entertainment space where I was working with celebrities, but instead of styling, because I am not Miss Fashionista. I will tell you that much. I can put a basic outfit together, but accessories and everything, I'll leave that up to you. But I was working on like film production sets, and I can completely resonate with what it's like to be able to go to work and love what you're doing. But the days basically are completely consumed by your job. I mean, you're getting there early in the morning, you're leaving, I mean, typically the next day at that point. So it truly becomes your life. So the fact that you were able to get this virtual styling job probably gave you a lot more freedom to be able to have a life of your own as well, I would assume.
Oh, absolutely. And I always say that freelancing is kind of your first taste of entrepreneurship because you get to make your own schedule and take on your own clients and things of that nature. So it really kind of gave me the entrepreneur bug in a sense. But it also gave me the capacity and opportunity to expand my styling skill set and work with women of all different sizes and ages, which was super helpful. I really loved it. And it helped me when the pandemic came around, nobody could go shopping in person or do anything in person. It really helped me master virtual styling skills, which is just so important now because everybody shops online.
Yes, they do. And I definitely need help figuring out how to shop online myself. I am curious. So you had this virtual styling job. At what point did you decide that you wanted to kind of hang that up and really start something of your own?
Well, I'll tell you, it wasn't exactly my choice. So they unfortunately went under as startups do, but I liked the idea of startups. So I went and worked for a year and a half, almost 2 years, as a stylist and merchandising coordinator for a company in West Hollywood. So I was living in West Hollywood. I was still in that scene. And I was working with models and doing photo shoots and video shoots and things like that. But I was doing entrepreneurship and styling on the side for basically the whole time. Because again, I couldn't help feeling like I should be helping real people and not just doing these shoots that go on a website and then don't mean anything. And then the pandemic happened. And like a lot of other, you know, pandemic baby business owners, I said, this is not what I want to do. And I need to be working with hardworking, ambitious women like myself to really help them elevate their style, teach them what I do every day to get dressed, teach them the style strategies and the outfit formulas that make getting dressed really easy, but very clear on your sense of style. So I quit my job in 2020 and started my business in the beginning of 2021. So it's almost been 3 years now.
Well, congratulations for really going after what you were being called to do. Clearly, you saw that there was a need there in the marketplace and you just went for it. But wow, you just went for it kind of almost cold turkey.
Oh, it was fully cold turkey. Yeah. Anyone who asks me now, any of my friends, colleagues, whatever, that want to get into entrepreneurship, I don't recommend doing it cold turkey unless you're incredibly privileged and have something to kind of fall back on. It's very important to have an amount of savings in place. It's very important to have a marketing strategy, a sales strategy. Just because you started a business doesn't mean that everyone's going to come to you. So if I could go back, I would maybe do it differently. But at the same time, there's so many days that I wake up and say, gosh, I wish I did this earlier.
Yeah, but it's a part of your story. And obviously it's worked out for you and you have been in business for 3 years and really, from what I can tell, are not looking back. So it's worked out to your favor here and you did a lot right, even though you may have made some different decisions if you were to rewind the clock. But you mentioned that you kind of had this desire to be able to help ambitious women like yourselves. Was this just something that you noticed along the way that was missing in the marketplace, or were people actually coming to you to tell you that they needed a little bit of help? Like, how did you decide that you wanted to work with working women?
Both. So the women that I worked with throughout the course of my career would be very successful, ambitious women who are at the top of their game, And yet they were successful in every avenue of their life, except for the way that they got dressed. I saw such a lack of confidence in the outfits they put together every day, their ability to understand how to use color, how to wear print. They didn't want to be too loud. They didn't want to be too seen, but they wanted to be successful. And even as a young professional and then eventually an entrepreneur, I just said to themselves, you're holding yourself back from the growth that you want and the success that you can have by not showing up fully and authentically as the business owner, as the executive that you want to be. And a huge part of that puzzle and that puzzle piece is style. So even when I was helping them a different job, I was helping them, you know, overcome body image issues, overcoming imposter syndrome. Like that's what makes me want to work and has me continue working every single day with those types of high achieving, ambitious women, is because there's so much more behind the closet doors to uncover about the potential that style can have to really transform your life if you let it and if you get into it.
It's really interesting that you just mentioned that imposter syndrome is also tied to how people are viewing themselves with wardrobe too. So can we maybe just talk about why it's so important for someone to have a really great wardrobe that when they put it on, they feel really confident in themselves?
Yes. I mean, it's one of my favorite subjects ever. So yeah. I'm super happy to talk about this. Something that you need to look out for with imposter syndrome and making sure that you're not falling into that trap is recognizing that you've worked really hard to get to where you are. You need to celebrate yourself by taking care of yourself and recognizing that style is a form of doing that. Putting your outfit together every morning, putting effort in the way that you show up in your appearance, that's a form of self-care, and that can help you really not feel as time goes on, as your career evolves, and whether you are a professional or you're an entrepreneur and you kind of jump ship from the corporate to entrepreneurial world, recognize that your style is a part of your brand. And so having a good wardrobe, one that really culminates most of your lifestyle so that you're able to dress every day in a way that always speaks to your brand, because your business doesn't shut off that way, is super, super important. And that'll help you from always feeling like you know what to wear, you're always a CEO, and you know what you're doing. Your wardrobe is a great tool for that.
That's really interesting. And I like that you said that your style is in really kind of putting on a great outfit every single day is a form of self-care, because I actually have never heard it framed that way. And I really like that, because when you think of self-care, people are talking about getting your nails done, getting your hair done, like going to get a massage, but you literally get dressed every single day. I mean, I would assume you do, but
good.
You should probably. So I think that that's probably like the first piece of self-care that we should actually be really considering rather than some of the other ones first. Yeah.
I mean, you can't escape clothes. This is what I say all the time. People think style is frivolous. It's not something that you need to pay attention to. You know, after the pandemic, there's a lot of people that are still dressing from the top up because they run their lives online and they feel like it doesn't matter if I'm going to the grocery store in my sweatpants, nothing matters. But if you care about where you can take your life, if you care about growth and expansion and personal development, you need to have style play a part in that. And that's why it really is a form of self-care. When you wake up in the morning, if you like to do gratitude journaling or if you like to meditate, you need to think of style as another part of that holistic approach to making you feel better and more motivated and productive about your day, because it really changes the way that you show up and the way that you attract different income, different clients, different opportunities into your life. The wardrobe and the clothes and the style that you have, that's the missing piece.
Yeah, it really does make a difference. When you dress well, you feel better. And you had mentioned too that your style is part of the brand. A lot of our listeners are people that are either building the business of their dreams or are dreaming of building the business of their dreams right now. When we talk about branding, a lot of the time, like we're not really thinking about what it is we're putting on our bodies. So how can someone, when they're developing their business here, really take into consideration what they want their brand to be, like physically?
Yes, absolutely. So something I want to get out of the way when we talk about branding, a lot of new female entrepreneurs say, well, I've got my fonts picked out and I've got my colors, so I'm good to go. But at the end of the day, you're your business, so you have to promote it. And if you can integrate that into your closet, that's what's going to bring stronger brand awareness back to you. So for example, if you can routinely wear your brand colors, whether they're in your accessories or in the things closest to your face, when you are filming content, that's a great way of getting your brand out there. And so that every time someone sees you on TikTok or someone sees you on Reels or LinkedIn, whatever platform you choose, they're going to instantly recognize that pink or that teal or that navy blue, because that's a huge part of your brand. So it's very important to incorporate your wardrobe into your brand. More importantly, clothes speak without you having to say anything. Clothes are a communicative tool. In that way, when it comes to personal branding, the silhouettes that you wear, whether you like to wear print or not, the colors that you wear, everything communicates something about you, your personality, and the CEO that you are. So if you use it in that respect to show a little bit about who you are and what you do, your clothes can take you really far.
That is really interesting. So many questions here. So point number one is you mentioned that branding isn't just about like picking out your font and your colors here. Like it's really about like dressing in the brand as well. So how would someone figure out what's the right color for them to be able to not only wear, but also to emulate on all of their websites and all their social platforms?
I love that. So when you're thinking about doing this, let's say, for example, you are just getting your website up and going and you need to do a branding shoot. And you're thinking about, typically at a branding shoot, you're going to do like 1 to 5 looks, maybe 4 if you can't do all of those. And you're thinking to yourself, what outfits am I going to wear? Well, what are your branding personality? Like, what's your branding perspective? Do you want to be seen as dependable? Do you want to be seen as friendly, trustworthy, a girl's girl? Or do you want to be seen as like a very strong executive presence? Like, where do you kind of fall in that category? And what does your brand speak to? That's how you choose well-structured blazers or peasant blouses. Like, you can go different ways on the style spectrum to really communicate your brand, because you don't want to wear clothes that are incongruent to your own personality, because brand and personality are basically the same thing. People get really stopped up on that and they feel like they have to dress a certain way to get clients and to grow their business. But if you don't dress how you would show up every day, it's going to show in the way that you communicate, the way that you promote your business, the way that you talk to prospective clients or go to networking events. So when it comes to being a new business owner and trying to integrate your branding, you really got to think about, well, what style or what outfit can I wear that a prospective client or a prospective vendor, whatever, if you're B2B or B2C, what would they say? Would they like my outfit? Would they think that I look really empowered? Would they think that I look super friendly and could be like a girlfriend and kind of have that sort of approach into my business? Like, what do you want there? For me personally, I'll just speak to my personal brand. I made that mistake at the very beginning. You know, when you kind of look at your competition, instead of just recognizing that no one's competition and you're in your own lane, you might think that you have to dress a little bit older. You have to dress a little bit sharper. You need to wear blazers every day and sheath dresses and pencil skirts to get a certain level of clientele and a certain level of income. But if that's not how you show up on the weekends and that's not what you wear working from home, there's no reason to build a wardrobe that way. If you like to wear flannels and leggings, like, let that be part of your brand. If you like to wear athleisure and hoodies and cozy sweaters and sneakers and slippers, like, that can be part of it as well, especially if you're an online entrepreneur. Or if you really do want to be seen as powerful, then you need to get those structured, streamlined silhouettes. But it's truly about who you are and who you want to speak to. That determines what you wear.
And I would assume that that also helps with some of that imposter syndrome, because you're describing things about allowing people to still be able to be true to who they are.
Yeah.
But allow other people to see them in a way that is an authoritative figure, like is the expert. So it's dressing that is in a way that's very aligned with who you are as a human, but taking that and really making that part of your brand.
Oh, absolutely. I think alignment and expertise are a huge part of how you show up. It's how you talk, how you communicate, the different ways that you put yourself out on social media. But at the end of the day, you're sitting in front of a camera and you're wearing clothes. So what does that want to feel like to you? Do you want to feel comfortable or do you want to feel uncomfortable and really sloppy or maybe frumpy because you feel like you're wearing the wrong clothes? You definitely don't want to do that. So if you want to feel comfortable and confident, you need to wear things that speak to who you are and speak to the type of business owner that you want to be known as. Instead of being stuck in imposter syndrome and saying, well, Carol over there, she's claiming she's making 50K months and, you know, she's wearing this really cool sheath dress from Karen Millen, so I got to go buy that. Like, that doesn't speak to you and you wouldn't wear that in your everyday. You certainly shouldn't be wearing it to promote your business.
I agree. And I really resonate with the comfortability factor because I am one of those people that have been, you know what, as long as I'm like somewhat professional from the waist up during the pandemic and beyond, then I'm good to go. But I also realized that, to your point before, is that how I dress is also reflected in how I feel for the day. So it's just putting on my makeup in the morning, like taking a shower. It's part of just the overall feel of everything. So I love that you're really bringing light to this perspective here. So I think it's a good transition to be able to actually talk about how you're working with your clients, because obviously you're talking about branding here. You're talking about overcoming some of this imposter syndrome and really just making sure that this is a true form of self-care to promote the confidence from within for all of these women. So how are you working with your clients today?
Yeah, I work with clients only one-on-one because as a personal stylist, I want it to be a very personal, unique approach because every woman is different. Getting dressed issues, they have different style struggles, whether that's body image or like fabric sensory things, or honestly like needing super comfortable shoes because they're on their feet all day. Maybe they go to a lot of conferences. It depends on the woman. So that's why it's so important to me when I work with female business owners that they are feeling like they have a unique and personalized and high touch approach when working with me. So all of my services are available in person if you're in the Los Angeles and Orange County area, as I am. But I also work with clients all over the country virtually because, like I said, I've mastered virtual styling, which is always super fun, but you still get that same level of access to me. So I do a bit of both, and that's what makes my job so exciting.
If someone wanted to work with you, like how do you go about working with these clients?
Typically, when people first come to me, they will go into my entry-level program, which is the Work to Weekend Wardrobe Experience. All of my styling services, so to speak, are really more so experiences. The Work to Weekend Wardrobe is a 90-day style experience. So you get closet edits, personal shopping, outfit lookbooks, outfit formulas, color analysis and body type analysis, personal wardrobe color palette that also speaks to your brand because it's also very important, and I'll go on and on about that. But it's about having a full total revamp of your style, or just really getting bits and pieces and tweaking what you're already doing based on where you are in your style journey. But I developed the Work to Weekend Wardrobe Experience to be 90 days so that you could revamp your style within 30 and then have concierge access to me for an additional 60, which is 2 months for weekly outfit curation. So whether you have client meetings or conferences or speaking engagements, or maybe you're just going on vacation with your family and you don't want to have to worry about what to wear to any of that, you've got a stylist in your back pocket to use everything that I've taught you before in the Work to Weekend Wardrobe Experience and continue that on in a private client site, which all of my clients just love and can't live without when they're done working with me.
So it sounds like it's not only just like a wardrobe refresh, but a true educational experience because you are helping them completely transform their brand and identity, correct?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, what I say when I'm kind of first onboarding a client is by the time you're done working with me, I want you to be able to think and act like a stylist when it comes to your closet. Because I want you to have the most knowledge possible about clothes, garments, shapes, cuts, everything that you can have. If you were to be a stylist, I want my clients to be able to have that same knowledge that they can continue to evolve their style as time goes on and as their business grows and changes. Something in the styling community that I find really funny is people talk about how you constantly want them to work with you and they have to be in your life forever. But that's not true for everybody. I really have approached it from a different perspective where I want to transform your mindset, the way that you show up, the way that you care about your body and the clothes that you put on, outfits that you put on, the way that you show up in the world, both professionally and personally, which is why it's called the Work to Weekend Wardrobe, and also how you can use style as a tool for your personal brand. So all of the techniques, the outfit formulas, the style strategies that I personalize for these female business owners, they're lifetime. They can tweak that and use that for the rest of their life. Like your body type doesn't change, for example. Your color season doesn't change. That's literally who you are, but it's about learning that level of style foundation, which is the first part of the Work to Weekend Wardrobe. Learning that level of style foundation and education is what transforms them to the very end.
Yeah, it truly is a transformational process, not only physically, but emotionally and like mentally as well, from what it sounds like. But I saw on your website that part of your process is for the people that are in the local vicinity to you is that you're actually going to their location and helping them to clean out the wardrobe and you're handling all the different consignments. What does that process look like when you're actually going to their house and figuring out what to keep and really what not to keep?
Yes. So this is the first styling session inside the Work to Weekend Wardrobe is the closet edit. So what that starts out with is the body type analysis and the color analysis. So you learn how to dress to flatter your figure by understanding your measurements and the particular figure that you have. Then we look at what your color season is. You need those two steps before I even go to your closet because I want to know what your particular wardrobe color palette is going to look like and what silhouettes would really help you flatter the unique figure that you have. Once I'm in that closet, I'm going through everything and deciding what to donate, what to keep, what potentially needs to be tailored, and what to consign. Items that need to be consigned really go into two categories. The main goal overall with consignment is what I want to do is to get you ROI on your wardrobe back so you don't feel like maybe you bought something a couple months ago not knowing that it wasn't the right top for you, for example, and you want to get your money back. That's where I'm going to sell it on places like Poshmark, eBay, Depop, what have you. If they are designer items that have been pretty well loved, but they're in good condition, but they're just not really feeling like they speak to you anymore and they're like a sense of your style, those go to consignment partners like The RealReal. So either way, you're still getting that return on investment with your wardrobe. But the reason why I have it part of that first styling session is so that you're getting all those foundational blocks of this is how I can go through my closet seasonally when Mary's not here, again, thinking like a stylist, and say, does this silhouette flatter me? Can I style this with three other pieces? How long have I had this handbag? Is it over 10 years old? Can I go get the leather replaced? Like, what does that look like for me? If not, this can go to a new home and maybe I can get a little bit of money back.
I like it because you're taking a really unique approach to this. You're allowing people to be a part of the experience, allowing them to get into your head to understand how a stylist really thinks and how they can be thinking about things in the future. So obviously it would be great to have those repeatable clients, but you're really preparing them to be able to do this on their own, even after your 90 days has really transpired here. So once you do this analysis of their current wardrobe, their color palette, their body size, and everything like that, what happens next?
Yes. So what happens next is at the end of that session, what I do, and by the way, throughout the closet edit, I'm also photographing everything that we've kept to be housed in a virtual closet. The reason I do that is to really curb impulse shopping. So you don't buy a bunch of black tops, for example, or the same wash of jean that you already have and don't need another one of. What I do at the end of that is I recognize what you've done in terms of duplicative shopping. So the things you no longer need to buy, but also the items in your closet that you're missing, which are called the wardrobe gaps. This basically serves as my shopping list for myself and my team to go the next business day and shop all over the country and the world, depending on where you are. If you're in person, I do a bit of in-person and virtual shopping online. If you are virtual, I most likely will do all of my shopping online. My team and I shop for the Work to Weekend Wardrobe that next day. And then we schedule what's called a style Q&A. So we'd hop on Zoom. This is really a hybrid program. We'd hop on Zoom and say, okay, this is what you need to add to your wardrobe. This is how many different ways it can be styled. Here's why I think these pieces, these accessories, these clothing items are perfect for you. And I mean, this goes from like bras and underwear, which is like the key parts of your clothes, to silk scarves and boot holders and everything that you need to really culminate a perfect wardrobe. That's why it's called the Work to Weekend Wardrobe. We shop that next day. And then once everything's done, it's handled by myself and my team. So it's really a done for you experience. I purchase everything on the client's behalf. And then if you're in person, we will come back to you to have a style strategy session where we try on all the new purchases, but most importantly, we integrate it back into their existing closet. As a stylist, I never want to recommend anything that can't be worn more than three ways, and secondly, can't be worn with what you already have. I am a huge proponent of maximizing your closet, not minimizing what you have. Sure, you might need to refine it, get rid of some things, make room for what serves you. However, you need to be wearing what you own. It should not be collecting dust, which is why the new purchases are just really additives to what you already have, which is why that process is so important.
And I'm a firm believer in having staple pieces. I'd rather have much less quantity of clothing and have it be higher quality and multi-purpose and multifaceted rather than having a bunch of like trendy clothes that I wash at once. And then, you know, you've all experienced it, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
You wash it and it just shrinks or shrivels up and gets all knotted and whatnot. I'd much rather have that like classy staple pieces in my wardrobe. But part of what you're talking about is obviously you have like this whole consultative experience for your pricing. Is that something that the clothing is lumped into your pricing, or do you sit down with your clients ahead of time and figure out like what is their allocated budget towards the clothing pieces that you're putting together for them?
So that's a great question. No, the price of the clothes, whatever you care to spend on investing in your wardrobe, is completely separate from my service fee. And I make that clear kind of in the consultation when I say, what are you willing to invest or what are you comfortable investing in terms of clothes, shoes, accessories right now when it comes to adding to your wardrobe? Because trust me, I'm going to take pieces out and you're going to need to either upgrade or replace them. So where does that lie in terms of budget? My service pricing for weekend wardrobe experience is separate from that. Everyone's budget is different. And I like to say I shop from TJ Maxx to Bergdorf's because every new business owner is somewhere different in their style journey.
I think that's a really great key. And I think a part of your process that you do really well too is being able to evaluate what can already be utilized so that way you don't really have to completely start over from scratch. I'm sure a lot of us have some great staple pieces that we can really build upon, so you're not having to start from really ground zero here. But you said something a little bit ago. You had mentioned that you have a team. That's amazing. I know that you and I have talked that you recently hired an intern. So when did you know that it was time to take this business from really being a solopreneur and adding teammates on board to really help you in all of your endeavors here?
When did I know? Honestly, I knew last year and I just didn't make the jump because I am a little bit of a perfectionist and like to do everything myself. So the idea of having to mentor and train somebody again was a little bit daunting. But when the demand gets to a certain point in your business where you're no longer balancing that act of working on and in the business, that's when you know that you need to bring somebody on that can help facilitate some of the things that are really not in your zone of genius, or frankly, that as a CEO, like you don't have time for. New business owners, like this might take you a while to realize. I could have done with this intern last year. And funny story about her, I did meet her last year around this time, ironically, in the beginning of summer. And I tried to poach her from her job to be my intern because we both went to the same school. We both went to Auburn University. And I was like, I want to have an Auburn intern. Like, that would be such an incredible full circle moment for me. And unfortunately, I had to wait. But I got a message from her and saying she wanted to work with me. And I was like, talk about divine timing. I would love to have an intern. And I can't even really put into words how helpful it has been, not only for my client experiences and making sure that my clients are really always getting that high touch personal service and access to me, but when it comes to the rest of my business and the growth and the marketing and the social media, because content creation is like its own little job, having an intern in that respect to also split it and then shop with me is so great. But more importantly, I love teaching my clients everything that I know, but I also love teaching kind of the next generation of stylists what personal styling looks like, both virtual and in person, and how transformative this experience can be when you do it right and you always put the client first.
Putting the client first is the number one priority here. And part of putting the client first is being able to focus on the tasks that are really, like you said, are really in your genius zone. So as you were considering bringing her on board, how did you determine really what was tasks that you wanted to be able to continue to do that were in your genius zone versus ones that you wanted to offboard and allow her to take on those responsibilities?
I'll keep it really simple. As a personal stylist, it would be the most amazing thing if every day all I got to do was talk to prospective clients, shop for those clients, clean up my directory, always make sure I'm getting new brands and designers and always having the best of the best for my clients, and also styling. So creating the lookbooks, creating new outfits, new style strategies, having those one-on-one sessions with clients. That's my zone of genius, and that's where I'd like to remain. When it comes to content planning, posting content, scheduling, all of that stuff, sending out little things like my thank you flowers that I like to send to clients and my, you know, offboarding gifts like lint rollers and cleaning supplies for closets and small things like that. Having the intern do that so that I can work a normal amount of hours and have that level of freedom so I only focus on what I love, game changer. And I have the intern, but I also have, because like I was saying with content planning and all of that, I also have another team member who's a lead generation strategist so that I don't have to spend all day on Instagram talking to people. I'm able to cultivate real one-on-one relationships with people that truly want to work with me and expand my marketing that way. So having those two team members has been a game changer for me to really get what I would consider my dream clients kind of into my style world.
And I think this is a really big lesson for entrepreneurs just in general, is to be able to understand when it's time to invest in some outside help, because we go from having this career. I know you worked as a stylist in the commercial world, in the virtual styling world and things like that, where you had other resources. But when you jump into entrepreneurship, you really are responsible for all of the roles. You're wearing many hats, like pun intended. Yes, lots of fun hats, but it's a lot. And sometimes it really pays off, even though it is an investment. But to be able to invest early on in some of those things that really will help you move your business forward faster. And clearly you recognize that you are the creative here. Without you, this business doesn't move forward, but there are different things in your business that you necessarily aren't needing to be involved in every single day that will still allow your business to propel forward if someone else is able to take off some of those responsibilities for you. So I think that's great that you recognize that. And I think that's a key pivotal component as to why you've been able to have the success in these past 3 years, is because you've recognized what your strengths are and really the areas that maybe don't light you up.
Yes, absolutely. And thank you for that. I mean, the other thing that I do want to note, though, because this sounds really great, right? You're like, oh, I would love to have team members and I'd love to have people to delegate tasks off to so I can really be a CEO. It's worth noting that you should try to master every single thing that you can when it comes to wearing all of those hats before saying that you need to offboard that to somebody else. Because if you don't try, you'll never know. And as an entrepreneur, it's really important to have your hands in every level of the business before you get high level and can make those executive decisions daily when you're first starting out. Because I know, like, when I first started, I really did think that I could afford to do what I'm doing now. And that's just like not the case. Like, you need that scalability. You need that level of growth. You do need those failures to come to a point in your business where you're like, okay, I'm trying to provide this incredibly transformational one-on-one done-for-you experience for my clients, and the rest of this is just noise. I've tried XYZ. My strategies are not working. Therefore, I need to hire an expert, or I don't have time to do some of these social media activities, in my example, or my email list. I need some help kind of coming up with ideas. These are small examples. So let me hire somebody who's fast, who's hungry, who's willing to learn, but also is involved in styling a little bit, that I can bounce ideas off of. Because a solo entrepreneur, like, I'm sure you know this, some of these days are lonely and it's quiet. And so it's nice to have somewhat of that co-working ability when you are a newer business owner, when you're in the first like 5 years or so of the business, to have someone to bounce ideas off of, but then also to realize, like, okay, I need to stick over here in my lane and stay in this, because that's where I'm going to see the most growth and expansion, but also where I feel like the most flow and alignment when it comes to having that holistic approach and letting the strategists and the experts that you may hire, just as well as like a business coach and also the interns, like, when you're in that level of flow and alignment of doing what you need to do and you're able to delegate those tasks, like, your life becomes so much easier and your job becomes so much more fun.
Agreed. And I think you also, by doing it yourself first, when you do decide to offboard some of this and really allow someone else to take this over, you have more respect for the work that they're doing because you understand what goes into making it happen and that you're really hiring someone that's even better than you. And by hiring someone that's even better than you at that task, that's also going to propel your business forward. And like when I started this podcast, I knew very early on, I am not an editor. So I do everything else in my business other than my podcast editing, because that was the one thing that I knew, you know what? I want to show up consistently. I want it to be professional. And I know that I don't have the patience or the skill set to do that. So that was the first and only hire that I've made to date so far. And it has been the best investment that I have made. And I would do it 10 times over. So I understand what it's like to make that first hire and how important and really critical it is, but to also to try it a little bit yourself first, because again, you have a little bit more humility and respect during that whole process.
I really couldn't agree more. It's kind of having to step away and have that humility to look at everything in your business from a bird's eye view and think to yourself like, okay, where could I really step it up a notch? Where have I just reached that point where it's like, I'm not doing my best here and there's somebody else that can? You have to let go of the control a little bit, which as an entrepreneur, when you're in business for yourself and you are your brand, like that's very hard to let go of things that you know you can control. But if you're not the expert, if you're not the strategist, give it to somebody else that can immensely help you.
I couldn't agree more. I know that you're in a very creative field, and part of your genius zone is tapping into the creativity, understanding visually what makes sense for everyone. So I'm curious just to also understand where you turn for constant inspiration to be able to show up every single day, bringing your best self to your clients.
I love that question. So this might be an unpopular opinion, but I am still a huge, huge fan of fashion magazines. I'm subscribed to anything that's still in print as well as digital because they're at the forefront of what's going on in the industry. That's not to say that fashion-wise, I'm always pushing trends because I mean, half the time I don't always know what's going on, nor do I care. It's more about having the foundation of style. But I do like to see what's going on the runway. What are the new collections? And then also, because I have a degree in apparel merchandising and I know merchandising very well, I look at what all the department stores and all of the big, huge retailers across the world, I'm looking at how they're pushing out product and how that can relate back to my clients in terms of what they want to wear every day and how they want to show up and how I can make something that's very casual turn into something that's business appropriate, even business formal. That keeps me kind of on my toes and always keeps me creative is how can I twist this silhouette? How can I change this? How can I show somebody how to do something from day to night and make this versatile and really create that works weekend wardrobe? It's basically constantly studying, which is why you need team members that be able to have this time, constantly studying like what's going on in the industry and also what's going on in my clients' lives. So like a lot of my clients are new female business owners, they're online coaches, they're consultants, like what's going on in their industry that they're going to be struggling with where they can use their style as a tool to help them overcome that and maybe stand out in their marketplace, especially online with all the buzz and all the noise. What's going on in that level of industry that I can help them with their wardrobe? So it's really about just constantly studying and being aware and just having that touch point.
Well, and that's what makes you such an amazing stylist. I mean, obviously there's a ton of reasons that makes it, but you not only are educating yourself, but you're really passionate and you care about the people that you work with. So if someone is really resonating with everything that you're talking about today, wants to really dive a little bit deeper into their own personal branding from a style perspective, really kind of kick away that imposter syndrome and go through their wardrobe to get a better idea of what they need to be able to propel themselves and their business forward, where could they find out more about what you're doing and potentially work with you?
Absolutely. So there's two ways to find out more about me. You can go on my website, www.marycomick.com, to learn more about the Work to Weekend Wardrobe experience, or you can find me on Instagram at marykay.style.
Wonderful. And Mary, this has truly been such a refreshing conversation. So thank you so much for taking the time to share your personal story and a little bit about how we can all refresh our wardrobe.
Thank you so much for having me. I hope you guys find what I was sharing helpful.
Mary demonstrates that clothes are more than just something to keep us warm. They're a reflection of who we are and how we want to be seen, which is so important as an entrepreneur. The best part is, you get to choose exactly what that is. You get to show up authentically as yourself, and Mary helps you bring that to life. And if you're looking for something simple you can do right away, start by wearing your brand's colors anytime you find yourself on camera. All right, self-starter, are you ready to take your personal brand to the next level? Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Self-Starter Podcast. If you like what you heard, be sure to like and subscribe to stay up to date on the latest content. Want even more? Be sure to head to selfstarter.com. And remember, start today for you, start today for her, and become a self-starter. See you next time.